Come over the hills, my bonny Irish lass. Come over the hills to your darling. You choose the road, love, and I'll make the vow. And I'll be your true love forever. Red is the rose that in yonder garden grows. Fair is the lily of the valley. Clear is the water that flows from the boyne. But my love is fairer than any.
'Twas down by Killarney's green woods that we strayed, when the moon and the stars, they were shining. The moon, she on its rays, on her locks of golden hair, and she swore she'd be my love forever.
Red is the rose that in yonder garden grows. Fair is the lily of the valley. Clear is the water that flows from the boyne. But my love is fairer than any. It's not for the parting that my sister pains. It's not for the grief of my mother. It's all for the loss of my bonny Irish lass, that my heart is breaking forever. Red is the rose that in yonder garden grows. Fair is the lily of the valley. Clear is the water that flows from the boyne. But my love is fairer than any. Red is the rose that in yonder garden grows. Fair is the lily of the valley. Clear is the water that flows from the boyne. But my love is fairer than any.
As I rode down in the May morning bright early, I met me love upon the road, and Lord, but she was angry. Her black and her smuttons white, and her buckles shining like silver. She had an arc and her own eye, and her earrings tipped her shoulder. And she sang a little, 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 little bees, a heaven of the bees, a heaven of the bees, Latin day. What a tale, me, my sweet girl, what a tale, me, darling. Quite modestly, she answered me, I'll be 17 come Sunday. Will you come to me house in the middle of the night, when the moon is shining clearly, and I'll rise to let you in, though you are a stranger. And she sang a little, 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 little deeds, a heaven of a deeds, a heaven of a deeds, that day. Will you marry me now, me soldier lad? Will you marry me now or never? Will you marry me, me soldier lad? You see, I'm done forever. No, I won't marry you, said the soldier lad. No, I won't marry you, me darling, for I have got a wife at home. How could I disown her? And she sang a little, 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 little deeds, a heaven of a deeds, a heaven of a deeds, that day. Line and a gallon in the morning. The old women are my heartbreak, and her young ones are my darlings. She sang a
Your duds in order, cause we're bound across the water. Heave away, me jollies, heave away. Come get your duds in order, cause we're bound to leave tomorrow. Heave away, me jolly boys, we're all bound away. Sometimes we're bound for Liverpool, sometimes we're bound for Spain. Heave away, me jollies, heave away. But now we're bound for old St. John's, where all the girls are dancing. Heave away, me jolly boys, we're all bound away. Boys, we're all bound away. Sometimes we're bound for Liverpool, sometimes we're bound for Spain. Heave away, me jollies, heave away. But now we're bound for old St. John's, where all the girls are dancing. Heave away, me jolly boys, we're all bound away. See me, heave away, me jolly boys, we're all bound away. Sometimes we're bound for Liverpool, more times we're bound for Spain. Heave away, me jollies, heave away. But now we're bound for old St. John's, where all the girls are dancing. Heave away, me jolly boys, we're all bound away. For Liverpool, sometimes we're bound for Spain. Heave away, me jollies, heave away. But now we're bound for old St. John's, where all the girls are dancing. Heave away, and me jolly boys, we're all bound away. Sometimes we're bound for Liverpool, more times we're bound for Spain. Heave away, me jollies, heave away. But now we're bound for old St. John's, where all the girls are dancing. Heave away, and me jolly boys, we're all bound away. Heave away, and me jolly boys, we're all boys, we're all bound away.
Armored cars and tanks and guns came to take away our sons, but every man must stand behind the men behind the wire. Armored cars and tanks and guns came to take away our sons, but every man must stand behind the men behind the wire. Through the little streets of Belfast in the dark of early morn, British soldiers came a-running, wrecking little homes with scorn. Heedless of the crying children, dragging fathers from the bed, watched the scenes as helpless mothers watched the bullet fall from the head. Armored cars and tanks and guns came to take away our sons, but every man must stand behind the men behind the wire. Armored cars and tanks and guns came to take away our sons, but every man must stand behind the men behind the wire. Not for them a judge or jury, or indeed a crime at all, being I
Irish means the guilty, so the guilty, one and all. Round the world the truth will echo, Cromwell's men are here again. England's name again is sullied in the eyes of honest men.
Armored cars and tanks and guns came to take away our sons, but every man must stand behind the men behind the wire. Armored cars and tanks and guns came to take away our sons, but every man must stand behind the men behind the wire.
Proudly march behind our banner, firmly stand behind our men. We will have them feet to help us build a nation once again. On the people, step together, proudly marching on your way. Never fear or never falter, till the boys come home to stay.
Armored cars and tanks and guns came to take away our sons, but every man must stand behind the men behind the wire. Armored cars and tanks and guns came to take away our sons, but every man must stand behind the men behind the wire.
Through the little streets of Belfast in the dark of early morn, British soldiers came a-running, rocking little homes with scorn. Heedless of the crying children, dragging fathers from the bed. What's the scene, the helpless mothers, what's the bullet fall from the head?
Armored cars and tanks and guns came to take away our sons, but every man must stand behind the men behind the wire. Armored cars and tanks and guns came to take away our sons, but every man must stand behind the men behind the wire.
One maiden fair, as the sun was shining, to Kilkenny I did ride. With Captain Brady, a tall commander by his side.
Then you are welcome, hide and funny. By my side you'll surely stand. Hear the people shout for freedom. We'll rise in the morning with the Fenian band. Rise in the morning with the Fenian band.
In the morning we rose early. Just before the break of dawn, blackbird singing in the bushes, greeting to a smiling morn. Gather round, me men of Ireland. Gather Fenians, gather round, hand to hand with sword and musket, spill our blood upon this holy ground.
You are welcome, Highland Bunny. By my side you'll surely stand. Hear the people shout for freedom. We'll rise in the morning with the Fenian band. Rise in the morning with the Fenian band.
There's a glen beside the river, just outside Kilkenny town. There we met this noble captain. Men lay dead upon the ground.
Then you are welcome, Highland Paddy. By my side you'll surely stand. Hear the people shout for freedom. We'll rise in the morning with the Fenian band. Rise in the morning with the Fenian band.
There's a grave beside the river, a mile outside Kilkenny town. There we laid our noble captain. Birds were silent when the Fenian died. All my life I will remember. I'll remember night and day that once I rode into Kilkenny and I heard his noble captain say,
and you are welcome, Highland Paddy. By my side you'll surely stand. Hear the people shout for freedom. We'll rise in the morning with the Fenian band. Rise in the morning with the Fenian band. Then you are welcome, Highland Paddy. By my side you'll surely stand. Hear the people shout for freedom. We'll rise in the morning with the Fenian band. Rise in the morning with the Fenian band. Rise in the morning with the Fenian band.
What's going on, everybody? Excuse me. I haven't spoken much today, honestly. Just kind of realized that before I went to speak. It is Tuesday, March 10th, 2026. And if you're wondering, you know, what happened to the Steve Laws stream, I can't really get into it because it's not my place to talk about, nor do I really know what's going on. All I know is that Steve had to address something and was addressing something and hasn't been able to respond. So I'm sure it was something serious, and he'll update us when he's able to. So for now, we had to cancel that stream, or at least, you know, delay it. I'm sure we'll reschedule at some point whenever Steve is able to. I'll just say this. I didn't even get a chance to speak to Steve directly about this. This was a message that was conveyed to me through another party. So it is legit. Like, it's not just, oh, shit. Sorry, mate. I forgot. Can we reschedule? No, it wasn't that shit at all. Like, he actually is dealing with something that needs to be dealt with. So it's not on him. And yeah, obviously, a lot of people were excited for, you know, Steve to jump on with us. But we'll see. I'm sure we'll get him back at some point because he seemed pretty excited to do it. So it is what it is. Because of that, I don't know. I had planned on being live at this time anyways, so I figured I would just go live for a bit. I have nothing in particular planned, obviously, because I was planning on doing that stream with Steve. So we'll let you guys govern where this this particular session goes. All I have on my mind is to hold fast. Giant Hog 4269, great name, says expected a package that needed signature, Lazy Jeet / Arab just scribbled it and dropped it at my door, lazy fuck. Yeah, they do that shit all the time. Gorbnet says C9 got rammed through Parliament today, I think. Nope, it didn't. That was what people were making it seem like happened, as far as I understand it. And I really didn't have that much time because I was dealing with some other shit. But it seems like the Bloc and Liberals have combined to basically censor parts of that bill, which is very alarming, obviously. But no, it is not passed, as far as I know. Thomas says, would you consider working with Nationalist 13 in the future? I did try to work with Nationalist 13. They don't want to work with us. It's as simple as that. Obviously, I did try to work with them. I promoted their stuff. I liked what they were doing. At one point, I was directing people who were looking for active clubs towards them. They don't want to work with us. Which is fine. There's other groups that we wouldn't want to work with, you know. That's all I'll say about it. From their perspective, if they think of it like, you know, in the same way that I wouldn't work with Puck Daddy, if they think that they can't work with us, hey, that's what it is. I don't have any issues with them. Motivation Center says, did you hear the Libertarian Party is getting deregistered? Small potatoes, but nice to see total libertarian death. Well, the PPC is the Libertarian Party now, man. I mean, why would you need a Libertarian Party of Canada if you have the PPC? They're like, the overlap in their platforms is virtually identical, or at least identical enough that, you know, one is clearly, you know, the vehicle that is most likely to get there, and even it is impossible. Thomas says, which groups wouldn't you want to work with? I think it's stupid to hate on ethno-nationalists. I try not to hate on any other groups. There's certain groups that have made it very clear that they don't want to work with us, or that they, don't like certain aspects of us or whatever. A good example of this is this, I don't know, we posted about it a little bit, but called Vinland Resistance Movement, which is one guy. It's one, literally one guy. It's not a movement. It's one fucking guy. And, he's spurging out about how Second Sons is the reason that active clubs are going to become prescribed as terrorist organizations in Canada. Well, first of all, no, that's not necessarily going to happen, but it's clear that they would like to angle towards that. And so, you know, our job is to fight that, not to just spurg out about how, oh, woe is me, the doom, it's going to happen. So there's that. But second of all, you know, funny enough, I actually described exactly who this Vinland resistance movement guy is when I was talking about the archetypes of people who criticize masking. And, you know, he's the outcast. That's the archetype that he is. He's not actually interested in winning. He is interested in being perceived as the most pure and noble loser, which is, okay, cool. Like, you're the one that is the truest believer. You are the most righteous. You are, you know, the most, the best embodiment of the ideology or something. It's like, okay, fine. You're losing. So is that like, if that's the result of being what you are, why would I want to be that? Thomas says they want to keep it undercover. They is a stretch. Again, it's one person. As far as I can tell, it's one person. I'm aware of who this person is. I don't know his actual identity, nor do I need to, but I know that the person who is running quote-unquote Vinland Resistance Movement was at one point, I believe, involved with, you know, Calgary Active Club when it was still functioning. They were removed from that because they're antisocial. So they started something called, I can't remember the exact chronology, but then they started, he either started a chapter of White Lives Matter or he started something called the Wild Rose Active Club. Again, he was disavowed and basically, you know, he was kept at a distance from the other active clubs. Like, he was not part of there is no official active club network, right? Like, nobody is technically in control of it, but there is a consensus about which active clubs are formally part of the decentralized network and which ones are not. And he was not. I believe then he tried to do something with White Lives Matter. And again, you know, they distanced themselves from him because he can't work with anyone. I know other people tried to work with him at one point and then they can't. And so like, he's like, everybody nobody wants to work with this guy and he doesn't want to work with anyone. So what are you supposed, yeah, congratulations. You're one guy and everybody else who operates in the space that you operate in has no interest in working with you. And you've, you know, publicly said that these people are not good enough. So yeah, like, you know, 109 nationalists and all of them are the problem, right? It's not you that's the problem. It's 109 other nationalists. Okay, yeah. So, yeah, you get this all the time. Bernard says, I get more people at my banner drops and I'm a nobody. I mean, you're doing good stuff. If you are, I think I know who you are, if I recall correctly. I know you go by a different name, but, yeah, you're doing good stuff. Like, for the scope of what you're operating with, yeah, great work. And again, like, I'm not going to go out of my way to be like, oh, these guys are, look at these fucking, this small group of, you know, nobody's doing banner. Like, why would I do that? I like what you guys are doing. And, you know, I like, personally, I think there's room for, like, I can work with anybody as long as they're willing to work with us too. If it's a one-way street, then yeah, like, I'm not going to go out of my way to support you, defend you, you know, use whatever influence and resources we have to support you whenever, you know, it doesn't go back the other way, especially when we have a lot more to offer a lot of these other smaller groups than they have to offer us. And that's not the point. You know, I believe that, you know, it's not about us using our platform to benefit us. Like, we should be using our platform to benefit other groups. And I try to as much as possible. Look at Dominion Society. When Dominion Society came out, I used the platform I have to boost it as much as I could, because I think that's a good concept for an institution or an organization. And if somebody else came out with something that, even if it was slightly, you know, say in quote, you know, competition with us, I don't care. Like, frankly, like I've talked about this before, I pray for the day that, you know, Canadian, you know, Thomas Sewell manifests out of the frozen ether of the plains of, you know, Saskatchewan and, you know, just comes out of nowhere and starts taking over everything. Like that sounds great to me. I'll just quietly, you know, fade into the shadows and let him be the one who runs it and is the face of it, or, you know, takes over everything. Like, that sounds perfect to me. I don't want to be the one doing this. Or a Thomas Russo or whatever, right? We didn't do anything formal like this for some time because we didn't think that we were the ones who should do it, you know? So yeah, I don't know if you object to us. Like, I don't really get the objection to us. If you support people like Sewell or Russo, or like, you know, everybody else is facing the same shit, like Nordic Resistance Movement, you know, any of the groups in England that exist, whether it's Vanguard Britannica or Active Club England or, you know, White Vanguard, you know, the groups that exist in, you know, Southern Europe, Casa Pound, Nucleo Nacional, you know, the ones in Eastern Europe, yeah, they're trying to ban all of them. Like, this is what the regime does when you actually become effective. Like, look what just happened to the NSN. Like, that's part of being effective. If you actually are effective at what you're doing, the state is going to try and ban you from existing. So that's a sign. The fact that they're angling towards that and they're saying we should be proscribed is not a condemnation of what we've done. It's a testament to how effective that we've been in a very short period of time. And if you don't agree with that, then fine, but then show me the model that we should be using and act like the reality is anybody who's advocating for a different model and saying that our model is the reason, you know, that they're going to pass these laws. Well, then if your model was effective, they would be doing the same thing to you. I guarantee it. And the fact that they're not should tell you that you're not very effective. Even like, you know, Nationalist 13, again, like I don't have issues with them and whatever, we don't work together, but they're, for what they are doing with the numbers they have, they're pretty effective. So like, I don't know. LVSVS says, so what happens when SSC eventually gets banned? What's the best move? There is no move, man. So first of all, I'm not convinced that SSC will get banned. I don't think they have the political or social capital to pull that move right now. And even if they did, it's somewhat of a metapolitical victory. Now, it would depend on the legislation that they do. Like, if, for example, if they put us on the terrorist, you know, the proscribed terrorist group, like that would be pretty serious. It would greatly affect our ability to do anything. Especially if they're listing individuals as terrorist entities like myself. So like James Mason is a terrorist organization on the list, right? That would basically make it, if they list me specifically as a terrorist organization in Canada, I am fucked because I can't get a bank account. Like not just I can't get a bank account with the major banks, like anybody who works with me financially is now guilty. Like I'm completely fucked. I'm basically homeless and broke. That would be my life in Canada if they did that to me specifically as an individual. We would have to look at all the potential consequences of that. But that being said, I don't think that that's going to happen, honestly. I think that they would much prefer to create new legislation because it's not just us that they want. They want legislation that would potentially affect groups like Dominion Society. They want, you know, organizations that would, legislation that could be used to prosecute, you know, things like Goofbusters potentially. So, I don't know if they have the social capital to pass something like that. And even if they do, you know, we have time still. So think about Bill C-9. How old is that now? Like, when was that first introduced? I think it was over a year ago that Bill C-9 was first brought up. And, you know, it got put on the back burner because of the election. And then, you know, it's the summer break and then it gets reintroduced. Like, summer break is 3 months long. And then they start talking about it again in the fall, and it nothing goes through until after winter. And then it's in readings, and like, it's only now. Yeah. Edgy's saying, September, 2025. Okay. So we're now like, if they don't, first of all, April's basically a write-off for a lot of this stuff. So unless they put that in the budget, which is a potential thing, they could just throw Bill C-9 into the budget. They've done this with other hate speech legislation, the anti-Semitism laws. It's possible that it gets through in the in like some kind of omnibus with the budget. But Drudas has passed in House today, going to Senate. We shall see in the Senate. I don't, as far as I know, that's not correct, but maybe there was an update. Hang on. Let me take a quick look. So the only source of that is Catholic Saskatoon News, as far as I can tell, which I don't really view as a legitimate source. Yeah, it hasn't gone through. Even that, even in that article, it doesn't say that it's gone through. So there's a whole bunch of people saying it went through, but there's no... Liberals and Bloc vote to shut down debate. So here's Juno News 2 hours ago. I'll pull up this article. Sorry, as for the question that LVSVS said is what do we do? It depends entirely on the legislation that they pass. Like it could be anything. Like there's no, you can't really plan for, like I could plan for like, what do we do if they prescribe us as a terrorist organization, what do we do? And the answer is we have to shut everything down. We have to shut everything down. And even then, it depends on how they prescribe us as a terrorist organization. Do they include Diaglon in that? Do they include individuals in that? Like, you know, there's all kinds of variables that we would have to get into. So it's very difficult. If it's new legislation, man, like I have to see what the new legislation is. Same thing with the Aussies, right? Like they had to see what was in the legislation before they can make a call. If it's basically point and shoot legislation where they can just at a moment's notice just say this is a now a designated group, a prescribed group, well then we're in trouble. If there is a process by which that group becomes prescribed, then you know maybe we have a chance at fighting it, you know, through an appeal system or whatever. It really depends. But the answer is, you know, we just saw it with the Aussies. If it's something like they passed in Australia, there's not really that much you can do, and you have to fight it through the judicial system. Not like that's it. That's the option that you have. And then you go back to operating as individuals, you know, as nationalists, and you, you know, you see how it goes as it goes. Like there's really not that much we can do in those situations. So here's that update. Like I don't, Juno News is okay for this kind of stuff. So we'll take a look at what it has to say. Liberals and Bloc vote to shut down debate on censorship law, Bill C-9. The Liberals have successfully shut down debate on their controversial censorship law, Bill C-9, which critics fear could criminalize religious expression. Yeah, and a lot more than that. The Liberals have successfully shut down debate on their controversial censorship law, Bill C-9, which critics fear could criminalize religious expression after the Bloc Québécois helped rush the legislation through the House of Commons. Parliamentarians debated and the Liberals and Bloc successfully voted on Tuesday on a motion to stifle debate and halt further study of the Liberal government's hate speech bill. The motion prevents any more witnesses from appearing before the committee. So there you go. This is very open and transparent democratic process, right? Like we'll just shut down any debate on it. Apparently that's it. I'm just going to claim my free post. Hang on. Let me pull this down for a second. Apparently I have to give them All right. Well, that's all I got because. Hang on. I put it in an email, but now I have to go to that email to actually open it. So I don't know. I don't know if this is worth doing or not. It probably is, I guess. All right, well, nothing came up anyways, so. Whatever, I guess that is what it is then. I can't read anymore. Like, I don't know, that didn't really describe what it is, but basically it sounds like now they're going to vote on it, which means it'll pass. Because obviously if the Bloc and the Liberals are on board with stopping debate on it, they're going to vote on it, and then it will pass. Which is, it is what it is. Now, sorry guys about the freezing. I still haven't figured out how to deal with that issue. It's whenever I go into another tab other than StreamYard as I'm streaming, it does that. Joe Schmo says Bill C9, the Bloc are working with the Libs on it. Yeah. Yeah, they are. Okay. Before I continue on though, I'm just going to say, Malibu Coke, thank you so much. You've been a really generous supporter, of the show and of my work. So I really do appreciate that. I'm going to have to get in contact with you at some point just to send you a gift or something, because I really do appreciate everything that you do to help keep this going, because this is my only source of income. This is how I'm able to work full time on the club and on, you know, these streams and whatnot. So I appreciate it. Just want to make sure I didn't miss anything else there. All right. Ghost of GLR as well. You know, thank you so much. You've been a big supporter as well. Too bad about Steve. Been loving his ascension. Been following him since Little Boats account on X, tracking the Jewish funded diggings crashing the shores of Europe and UK. But your solo streams rock. I'm sure Steve and I will get it eventually. I've been talking with him for a while about getting it on. Obviously, Steve and I, you know, have been speaking, you know, back and forth about different things for, God, I think it's been almost a couple of years now. You know, at least, you know, occasionally we'll message back and forth. So I am a huge fan of Steve's work. If you're not super familiar with him, you probably don't realize how long he's been at this. Basically, you know, similar to myself and a lot of other people, I think like it was 2019 or 2020 that he became active. And he's been an activist the entire time, not a content creator, which is something I respect. And he's paid the price for it. I think he's been arrested twice. You know, he's had issues with employment because of it. Like he's done the work, and you know, over the last couple of years, he's really started getting the credit and the respect that he deserves for his work in the UK. And I would argue that he is probably at the moment, you know, the most high profile and well known, you know, British nationalist, with maybe the exception of someone like Mark Collett. But I think, you know, unfortunately for Mark, he's not allowed on Twitter or a lot of other social media, whereas Steve has been able to hold on to his account, you know, at least most of the time. I don't know if he's suffered bans or anything like that, but obviously he's got quite a large Twitter account and uses it as a weapon, like you should when you have something that big. So, yeah, Steve is super solid. Fairy's Black Girlfriend gifted 5 subscriptions. Man, you're so sweet, my little nigger. Was that it? I think that was it. Benito Panino says Steve Laws. Yeah, he's the founder of Remigration Now out of the UK. Obviously, he's been involved with a lot of different organizations, if you're familiar with his work. But, you know, he's been a constant, you know, in right-wing politics, or, well, nationalist politics, I should say, in the UK for half a decade now. Ticklegrass says, get Malibu something nice from all of us. I should get something for you, too. You're also one of you and Brian, and there's a few others that I should do something for anyways. But yeah, so if you just came in and you're not familiar, Steve was supposed to join me tonight. As far as I know, there's been no updates on that. Yeah, I don't see anything. So I'll let Steve update eventually whenever he has a chance. And, you know, we'll figure out the reschedule whenever we can. What else was in there? Thomas says, I don't want to get into it. I don't mind answering this to an extent, but we're not going to turn this into a stream about why certain groups can't work together. But he's asking, why didn't it work out with Nationalist 13, if not a secret? I mean, it's not, I guess, a secret, but they weren't interested in working with us. I think they think that, you know, basically from their perspective, I don't know, you go ask them, but their perspective seems to be that anybody who's not explicitly National Socialist is not going hard enough, which I find strange because they don't seem to have an issue with Patriot Front and other organizations that are not explicitly National Socialist. But, you know, I don't know, man. At least he says, I wonder if Thomas is Nationalist 13. I have no idea. It doesn't matter. This isn't a secret or anything. Again, I don't think they're doing bad work. I think they've done they did something in, was it Hamilton recently, where they no mercy for pedo scum or something. Yeah, that's great work. I don't know, but I'm not obviously going to promote and, you know, pump their tires whenever it only goes one way. I don't have an issue with them. I think they're doing some great stuff. I think some of the stuff they're doing needs work, but I think that I've spoken about it before. I think that, you know, not having any kind of public facing leadership is going to make it impossible to scale. And unfortunately, you do need to be able to scale. I went over this. Look, I could do this like this. Okay. The club, let's say hypothetically, you know, I'm not going to get into exact numbers, but let's say hypothetically we're at around 500 right now. Okay. Say that the Second Sons has 500 personnel, you know, involved with the club, ranging from recruit to member to officer, right? Whatever. Well, if we double our numbers in a year, that sounds pretty good, right? You've doubled your total number of personnel in a year from 500 to 1,000. All right. Well, let's say you continue that trend. You double again and you go from another 1,000, from 1,000 to 2,000. All right. You double again, you go from 2,000 to 4,000. You double again, you go from 4,000 to 8,000. That sounds great on paper. And honestly, it still would probably be pretty effective. That's 2031. That's 5 years from now. Think about the pace of change. And you're saying, if we just kept doubling, we would be at 8,000 by 2031. It's not enough. You have to be able to scale quite rapidly in order to be effective at this point. And that takes going from, that's us going from 500 to 1,000, going from, you know, 30 to 60 and then 60 to 120 or something like that that's not going to cut it. I don't know if they have their own vision about how they achieve that, but I don't think that it's possible to even come close to scaling at the rate that you need to without public leadership. So like, that's just my kind of thought on it. But again, that doesn't mean that they can't continue doing what they're doing and doing good work. It's just, I don't see how that's a viable model for, you know, actual long-term change. Bigot Bullock says, what's your take on multiple police departments not wanting to play ball with the feds on the confiscation program? I think it's obvious. Why would they? They've got enough to deal with actual crime. And now the government is saying, we want you to basically take on this massive project to get, you know, legally held firearms by, you know, law abiding citizens who are now extremely pissed off and hostile towards you. It makes total sense why they don't want to be involved with that. I don't know. It's, seems pretty obvious. Skookum Actual says, unfortunate about Steve not making it today. Was looking forward to it. Just wanted to pop in and show some love. Got to jump on a plane. Green leaves for the win. Cheers. I am also partial to the green leaves on the red ensign. I think that that's the correct color. Not a fan of the red ones, but you know, that's something that we can get back to arguing over whenever we win. NB Canoeist says, did Ferry already talk about the U.S. consulate attack in Toronto? Nope, not my problem. Not my fucking problem. Why am I supposed to care about synagogues being shut up or arsons or the U.S. consulate being, you know, having a drive-by? Is that my issue? It's got nothing to do with us. We don't do that. We advocate against this shit. That was one of the more annoying things about the way we were being presented in the media last week, is like, we advocate for the exact opposite of this shit. You know, those guys that they were talking about, the promotion of terroristic materials in Canada, the three different guys who were arrested, you know, between, what was it, 2020 or 2021 and 2023. Yeah, if they were part of what we're doing, they wouldn't have been doing that shit. We're the opposite of what you make us out to be. We're like, if anything, the argument would be that we're de-radicalizers, not, you know, that we're radicalizing people or encouraging lone wolf activity or anything like that. We don't, that's not helpful to us at all. It is helpful to you, because whenever something like that does happen, you know, our opposition, the leftists, the, you know, Antifa Jews, get to take that and run with it and say like, oh, look how violent this ideology is. It's a threat to society. We need to ban these people. We need to ban their symbols. We need to lock them all up. Like, that doesn't help us at all. We're not interested in like random outbursts of violence that do nothing to help us long term. Why would that, like, why would we be on board with that kind of shit? It's why we speak about the opposite, about you shouldn't engage in that stuff. You should do productive things for your people. You should learn how to defend yourself and be prepared for violent situations, but not carry it out randomly against, you know, people for no reason. Like, that doesn't help us. So, yeah. But obviously that's not a good sell for them, and they'll never talk about it like that. Thomas says, why don't you do any banner drops in Nova Scotia? Opportunity hasn't arisen. Like, look, it's we have areas with more concentrated guys and we have areas with less concentrated guys. Like, there is a decent sized crew in Nova Scotia and New Brunswick, but getting them all together can be difficult. So, yeah, like, we have guys all over the country. It's not like it's a huge country, though. What was somebody else asking about there? Bluey Waffle says, Ferry streaming during the day. What universe am I in? I had this block of time, you know, marked off anyways for the Steve Laws stream. And now, you know, I'll check again there, but that's not going to happen. So, I figured I might as well just go live because I had the time you know, earmarked anyways to stream. And now, well, what else was I going to do? Also, this is my income. So if I don't stream, you know, unfortunately, I don't make money. I wish it wasn't like that. I wish, you know, the club was self-sustaining enough and had enough revenue streams that we could justify small salaries for some of the officers, but we can't as of yet. So until then, I'll keep doing these. Although also I feel like people would want us to do these anyways. And I think there is, you know, maybe I would cut it down to one a week or whatever if I was full-time with the club, but taking a salary from the club or something. But I think these are still useful because this is a way of getting information out there, addressing people's concerns. It's basically like, you know, a state of the union type thing, right? Like, you know, people can feel like they're being addressed and things like that. So I don't know. I would probably still do it to an extent, but yeah. LVSVS says, is Nova Scotia overrun with sand people? No, the Maritimes are one of the whitest areas in the country. Nova Scotia, I believe, as a province, is still the whitest province in the country. Or sorry, Newfoundland is the whitest province in the country, I believe. White Bitch 666 says, did that law pass? No, but it's going to. Bill C9 has not passed yet, but it will. It could hypothetically be stopped at the Senate, but it's not really the Senate's mandate to shoot down legislation that is given parliamentary assent. So it probably will pass. The question is, look, I haven't reviewed that legislation that thoroughly because from what I did see, it doesn't really affect us that much. Now it could be used outside of its, you know, and it probably will be used outside of its intended mandate. But from what I could gather, it was basically going after hate crime. Like, hang on, I'll pull up the summary of what it is again. This is an interesting question. Saxon 141 says, hey, I'm the leader of a nationalist org here in the UK. Do you think orgs like yours or Patriot Front could write a handbook that details the do's and don'ts of nationalist activism and organizing? I'm actually working on something similar to that. I try to get that stuff out as much as possible when I can. If you want, I do have a Substack. There is some stuff on that might be worthwhile, you know, for you to take a look at right now. You know, I suppose it would depend on what kind of, you know, do's and don'ts you're looking for when it comes to nationalist activism and organizing. The obvious one is don't break laws. As like in some cases, you know, they will claim that you have broken laws, but you should know what the laws are and don't break them because it's not necessary. It's straight up, it's not necessary to break the laws as they stand. Especially if you want to be like, look, there's a difference between being a decentralized network of people and being a legitimate, you know, organization that has legal standing. So if you are, you know, a formal organization that has some kind of legal standing as like a legal entity, then, you know, you have to factor that into how you approach things because you're open to civil litigation and you're open to you know, certain kinds of, you know, criminal, I suppose, or, what would you call it? You have to be careful about how you structure your organization, but then you get all kinds of benefits from doing that. So there's, you know, there's pros and cons of how you go about it. But, I'm trying to work on something similar to that. I've been putting together writings for a while. And I don't really know what it would be, but it's basically my experience in doing this so far. So like one of the things that I'm working on now is, you know, the theory and overview on public actions. And the reason why I'm doing that is because I've learned a lot in the past, 8 months or so on how to do public actions and what you should do to, maximize their effectiveness and their efficiency. I've learned things, right? Because I've organized, almost 10 of them. So that could be useful to other people who are trying to do that. But frankly, a lot of the organizations they've been doing them longer than I have. So it might be useful to, somebody who is not in one of those organizations or trying to start one. But, why are you trying to start? Like, there's a lot of these organizations already exist. So I kind of question why people are even trying to start them now instead of just joining the ones that are already, operating. Rob Nichols says if Second Sons didn't become a legal entity, they could pull the Antifa trick of pretending they don't really exist in the open. No, we couldn't. And we would suffer in a whole bunch of other ways. So if you don't have a legal, if your organization isn't a legal entity, like you can't have a bank account for it, you can't have a lawyer on call for it, like specifically for that organization that represents all members. You can't have, you can't use it to, generate revenue by having like an internal, company or something like that. There's all kinds of advantages that you get. Like we thought about this a lot before we made the decision of, I'm not going to get into how ours is structured. But it was considered a lot, and we figured the advantages outweighed the possible, the pros outweighed the possible cons of being a non-legal standing entity. Now others don't. So for example, Patriot Front has no legal standing as far as I know. And clearly that's working for them. You have to navigate that yourselves. There was something I was going to pull up, though. Oh, right. I was going to do the whole... Hang on a sec. I'm just going to use Google AI to do this because it's usually fairly effective or at least accurate. All right. New criminal offenses create specific charges for intimidating or obstructing access to places of worship, schools, community centers, and similar locations. Am I freezing while I'm doing this? Hopefully not. Okay, so that's not a problem for us because we don't do that stuff. They might try to make it seem like we are, but that'll be a stretch. Hate symbol prohibition. Bans the public display of symbols associated with listed terrorist or extremist groups, including the Nazi swastika and SS bolts. I mean, there's a reason why we don't use those symbols. One, we're Canadian nationalists, and two, I don't really see the advantage of doing that. Even before this legislation, there was instances of people being charged for displaying those symbols in certain contexts. So, like, look, if they wanted to before, if you were publicly flying, the Hakenkreuz or other Third Reich symbols in public in the context of a political demonstration, they could charge you, and they did charge people with certain things. Now, it wasn't explicitly because they were banned symbols, but they would call it like, I forget what the term was. It's some kind of harassment. It was like harassment with the intent to... something, marginalized or, identifiable groups. I don't know. A hate crime designation establishes that any underlying criminal code offense motivated by hate constitutes a specific separate offense with higher penalties. So again, this is like, basically we already kind of had something like this, and I forget what it was, but this just kind of reinforces and amplifies the legislation that already existed, which was that if you basically what it's saying is, if you punch somebody because they're a Jew and you say, fuck you, you dirty kike, and then you hit them and they're Jewish, well, you're going to get charged with assault, and then it's going to have another, you know, element tacked onto it, which is that you did it because they're a Jew. So again, not something that necessarily affects us outright, because we're not looking to commit crimes against people, and we're certainly not looking to commit crimes against people, you know, with because they're a certain thing. However, like, there's instances where that could be a problem. So, for example, let's say we're doing a public demonstration of some kind and somebody attacks us. Well, if you defend yourself and you hurt them badly in the process of defending yourself, just because, you know, they attacked you, they might, you know, charge you with assault. And then they might say that, well, you assaulted this person because, you know, of what their identifiable group is, blah, blah, blah. And so now they're tacking it on. But the problem with that is, like, they would do that anyways. So, for example, if we were doing a public action and somebody attacked us and one of our guys had to defend themselves and, you know, like, got the better of it, they would charge them with assault anyways. So basically, this is just, you know, in a rare circumstance where, you know, some kind of physical altercation happens, our guys would be looking at potentially higher penalties because of this legislation. But we're not looking to have that happen anyway. So it's obviously, it's not good, but not something that's, you know, a super huge cause of concern to me at the moment. Definition of hatred codifies a legal definition of hatred to guide the courts, defining it as an emotion stronger than dislike or disdain. Wow, what a great definition. So obviously, again, a concern, but, you know, still in the same, you know, line of what we already had. Streamlined prosecution removes the requirement for attorney general consent to lay hate propaganda charges, enabling faster law enforcement action. So I don't know. To me, obviously, this is not good. Okay. Obviously, this isn't something that we want to see passed, but this is not a huge cause of concern for me and the operation of the club. We just have to be a little bit more careful about things we say and what we do. But, you know, this is, frankly, this seems like it's more directed at Palestinian groups and, you know, Islamic groups than it is at us. Will it be used against us? Of course it will. Is it something that we have to pay attention to and be careful about? Yeah. Does this make me, you know, very concerned about what we have been doing and what we will be doing? No, not really. Maybe that's me being naive. I don't know, but I don't see it necessarily as being a you know, game changer. Sorry, I'll just scroll and catch up there. Yeah, Edgy D says the removal of the attorney general's consent for all hate propaganda offenses is probably the worst part of it. Yeah, that's what I took away from it too. Yeah, so there you go. Like, again, obviously I don't want laws like this passed, but, like, the biggest threat to us is not criminal charges like assault or harassment, intimidate. Like, that's not what, you know, we are going to have an issue. It's speech. So when they're directly targeting it, like, if in that legislation it would be like, if you speak, if you say something publicly that is demeaning, denigrating, or belittling of identifiable groups, then, you know, you are subjected to blah, blah, blah. I'd be like, okay, we got to really fucking reel it in here, because it's going to be almost impossible to talk at all about the problems. That's not in this. Maybe that will come eventually. And obviously, you know, we do have to be careful with some things still, like anti-Semitism and the Holocaust. Like, yeah, you got to watch what you fucking say, but obviously we've got a pretty good handle on that. Sorry, I'm just going to I'm just checking in to make sure that I didn't hear an update from Steve. Just because I'm sure you guys want to know what's going on with him too. Undercover Caper, please stop sharing links in the chat. Diagadrigalus says it also affects religious text. The New Testament's Jews are pretty much the main villain throughout it. Yeah, like obviously that's what the conservatives are trying to make this out to be, that it's an attack on freedom of speech for basically, I forget how it works, but basically it removes the cover of religion for being a justification for hate speech, or maybe I'm not summarizing that perfectly, but as far as I understood, it's like you cannot use your religion as a defense for anti-Semitic or hateful speech anymore. So if you try to say the Jews are the reason that blah, 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 and you quote a New Testament verse, that's not going to cut it anymore. So I don't know. We'll see. Again, doesn't really concern me because I would never use that kind of language to, say what I'm going to say anyways. But obviously for some people that is a big deal, and it should be, like, it's insane. It should be fought, but I don't know what we're supposed to do to fight this legislation, right? Like, we've already done it. We told people they were going to try to do this shit for years. Like, yeah. Thomas says conservatives would also vote on C9. They're actively opposing it pretty strongly, mostly on the grounds of it being anti-Christian. But yeah, the problem again with that. So again, this is the conservatives being cucks, which is, they'll say something like, "Oh, this legislation is discriminatory against Christians," and that's a huge problem. And if that is taken seriously, so what do the liberals do? They remove that part of it and they say, okay, well, there, now we're good. And what do the conservatives say then? Because they haven't opposed it on other grounds. So it's one of those things where it's like the conservatives are just bad at this. Instead of opposing the legislation on much deeper moral grounds, they do it on these very, superficial, aspects. And then, if that gets removed, what, you just support it now? Pretty silly. Canadian Rose says, I've been trying to get IG pages to promote SSC and have a pedo catcher page with 18,000 followers that's ready to post the 2025 recap edit. Just want the go ahead from you guys. I mean, we don't control who reposts our edits. So if they want to, they're more than welcome to repost it. If it's out there online and we've put it out there, like anybody can share it. So I'm just reading the chat, guys. Yeah, BJ Michigan makes a good point here. So compare Canadian Girl and the North Bay and Manitoba guys. Canadian Girl's case has taken 3 years and it's going nowhere for anti-Indian stuff, whereas the Holly deniers are taken down straight away. Well, That's because they have very explicitly, like, I don't like this, okay? So there's three or four cases going on right now where different individuals who were producing online content of some form or another have been arrested under the anti-Semitism bills that the Liberals passed in 2023 during the budget, which was written by the Conservatives, by the way. But unfortunately, those three or four individuals, and they don't deserve this, but this is reality, they violated that law like word for word. Like, they did exactly what you're not supposed to do to not get charged with that law. And so I don't know, like, yeah, the Crown is going to jump on those cases because it's an easy slam dunk. Like, here's what the law says. Here's what they said. This is clearly exactly what they were not supposed to say or what they're not allowed to say. And so they are guilty. And the answer is, yeah, they're not morally guilty. They are technically guilty. Like, they are technically guilty of breaking that law. I don't know what anybody is supposed to do to oppose that. The difference with Canadian Girl, there's subjectiveness to it. That can be fought because, well, what technically constitutes the vilification of, you know, an identifiable group? Like, how is what she said technically doing that? Whereas when you say, like, hypothetically, if these guys said, and I forget exactly what they said, but if they said something like, quote, and this is me just speculating on what they said, the Holocaust never happened and, you know, Jews, you know, made it all up, end quote. Well, then they've fucking violated the law. Like, that's the law. You can't say that. You have to speak in hypotheticals. You have to speak in, you have to use some nuance when you're speaking about those things. So, like, I don't, like, there's nothing to be done. Uncle Semi says, "Woo, that's a pretty dangerous quote right there." Yeah, but they'll never get me on that because of exactly how I just framed it. I said, hypothetically, if somebody said this, and then I went quote, and then I said what I said, and then said end quote, if you did that, you would be in violation. Yeah, that's not breaking the law because I'm talking about it in a hypothetical, you know, situation. If I said that just right now, like I was saying, like as a matter of fact or something like that, then that would be in violation of the law, right? Edgy says, take it to the Supreme Court. You absolutely can. Who wants to fund that? Who wants to fund taking it to the Supreme Court? If you don't have good lawyers to fight it, you're like, why bother? So you need a good fucking war chest if you want to go down that route, and you better be ready to commit yourself for 5 years minimum. The only thing that I would be willing to do that on is the prescription of active clubs or something like that. Then I would be starting fundraisers to get the money that we need to hire a good team of lawyers to take that shit all the way to the Supreme Court. I'm not doing it for, you know, anti-Semitism and Holocaust denial laws that are easily navigated. Personally, that's not for me. Okay. You know what? I'm going to take a quick break and then I'll be right back. I've been finding that when I take breaks on the streams, they're better. So I'm going to start taking more like just dedicated breaks during the streams, and then I'll come back and I'll discuss something different. Be right back, guys. Ooh, that was the wrong one.
Glasgow back in 98, poor children needed fed, and some big-hearted Irishmen who lived around Parkhead.
decided in their charity to silence hunger's cry. So they started Celtic Football Club and raised the flag on high.
And they raised the flag on high, and they raised the flag on high. They started Celtic Football Club and raised the flag on high.
Them bigots who did hate the race and most of all their creed used the power to hinder them in spite of children's need. But Celtic spirit then as now, despite each pressman's lie, they rose above all obstacles and kept their flag on high.
They kept their flag on high, and they kept their flag on high. They rose above all obstacles and kept their flag on high.
They carried on from strength to strength, from fame to greater fame. Now all who heard of football know the Glasgow Celtic name. But still the same old bigotry will let no chance go by to blacken this great football name and the flag that flies on high.
And the flag that flies on high, and the flag that flies on high, to blacken this great football name and the flag that flies on high.
When in 1953 the ruling SFA, they said that Celtic Football Club must take the flag away. But Kelly and his Celtic men said they would rather die than to disgrace their forefathers and the flag that flies on high.
And the flag that flies on high, and the flag that flies on high, than to disgrace their forefathers and the flag that flies on high.
And still the Irish tricolour, it waves o'er paradise, where proudly it's admired and loved by Irish exiles' eyes. God grant that like Bob Kelly, all attacks we will defy from the enemies of Celtic and the flag that flies on high.
And the flag that flies on high, and the flag that flies on high, from the enemies of Celtic and the flag that flies on high.
In Glasgow back in 98, poor children needed fed, and some big-hearted Irishmen who lived around Parkhead decided in their charity to silence hunger's cry. So they started Celtic Football Club and raised the flag on high.
And they raised the flag on high, and they raised the flag on high. They started Celtic Football Club and raised the flag on high. And they raised the flag on high, and they raised the flag on high. They started Celtic Football Club and raised the flag on high.
His eyes, they closed, and his last breath spoke. He had seen all to be seen. A life once full, now an empty vase, with the blossoms on his early grave. Walk away, me boy, walk away, me boy, and by morning we'll be free. Wipe that golden tear from your mother, dear, and raise what's left of the flag for me. Then the rosary beads, count them, one, two, three, fell apart as they hit the floor. In our garb of black, we must pay respect to the colour we're born to mourn. Walk away, me boys, walk away, me boys, by morning we'll be free. Wipe the golden tear from your mother, dear, raise what's left of the flag for me. Start a wound filled with hatred and remorse. Where it begins, go out.
What's left of the flag from me?
All right. Yeah, I had to check on some other things going on there too. No update from Steve or anything yet. So hopefully that situation is fine. Again, I can't, I'm not going to. Like, I frankly, I don't know exactly what's going on. I just know that he needed to deal with that. So we'll get that rescheduled. Jorico gifted 10 subscriptions. Thanks a lot, man. I really appreciate that. Everybody claiming their subscriptions there. Yeah, so the only other thing that I really wanted to talk about tonight after, you know, that fell through is, you know, I titled the stream Hold Fast for a reason, which is, guys, they're spiraling right now. The media is spiraling. It ties into everything that we spoke about on Saturday night and what you observed over the course of the, you know, the past week into today. And many of you probably saw, you know, CBC this morning. Where is it? Here's a good one here. I know I'm probably frozen right now. Just hang on a sec. So here, I'll pull this up and we'll, you know what, maybe we'll just watch the whole thing. Blonde Bigot's got it up here. So I don't know if this will freeze or whatnot. But, you know, funny enough, if this guy on screen here looks familiar, well, he should kind of look familiar because, you know, he's the one that with CBC Investigates put out the piece on us back in just before Christmas. This piece was titled "The Nazis Were Right." And they had me up there singing the song from American History X and all that stuff. And Jeremy throwing a cheeky Roman and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, this is the same team that did that. And it's all connected. You know, if you go into this article, you're going to see that, oh, look, Evan Balgord is quoted again. What do you know? Shocker. This is a coordinated effort, and they're grasping at anything they can right now to push the narrative that white nationalism, you know, white supremacy, national socialism, whatever, is the biggest threat to Canadians right now. And that obviously isn't true, and everybody fucking knows it. We're watching, you know, the Bishnoi gang and the extortion in Surrey, and, you know, synagogues and U.S. consulates being shot up, and, you know, the increasing violence from the left and the Palestinians and the, you know, all these different, you know, factions. And like, none of this is attributable to us. Like, we're out here being like, don't do violent shit, do productive shit, like come join a club, get in shape, get fit, you know, be a good member of your community. And, you know, they really don't have anything to go with. And moreover than that, none of the things that they're doing are working, you know, to stop us. In fact, it has a blowback effect where every time they release one of these stupid fucking visual investigations pieces, our numbers just go up and the recruiting goes up and people are like, oh, I didn't even know these guys existed. Thank you for letting me know, CBC. I'll go join them immediately. So they don't really know what to fucking do at this point. And so they're spiraling. They're trying to generate support for new legislation and new funding and blah, blah, blah. But I haven't even watched this piece yet. But again, they're going after dating sites now, which, by the way, dating sites which were hacked and then leaked by German Antifa. So there you go. Antifa, which is a, you know, formally recognized by the United States as an international terrorist organization, is now being, you know, used by the Canadian media to justify going after private citizens for their dating preferences. It's fucking insane. But anyway, I'll just play it And I'll take myself off the screen as we.
This is a white supremacist dating site nicknamed Tinder for Nazis. We analyzed membership data leaked by an anonymous hacker and found more than 500 Canadians, including profiles belonging to members of the Canadian military.
Should we be concerned?
They are getting access to training, weapons, secure intelligence.
Okay, so WhiteDate has been around since 2017, and its terms of service says people with non-white genetics aren't allowed on the site. This isn't just about dating preferences. WhiteDate is based around the idea that white people need to preserve a pure bloodline.
Nordic people are dying out, and within 200 years, there won't be a person left on this planet.
Okay. Sorry, I fucked up there a little bit. I don't know if you guys could hear me before that, but what I was going to say there is just people with non-white genetics. A lot of people immediately expose this, but there's Jewish dating sites. There's Muslim dating sites. There's Black dating sites. There's Asian dating sites. There's Indian dating sites. There is dating sites for every identifiable group except for white people. Everybody is allowed to have white people as their preferred, you know, dating type, except for white people. You know, it's similar to that old line from, I think it was Andrew Joyce or one of those, maybe it was Frogwave, you know, one of those really good Twitter one-liner accounts. But they said, you know, everybody in the world is allowed to prefer living around white people, except for white people. Because the moment white people try to live around only other white people, then it becomes a problem. But if you say, I want to go live in a white country, then that's your right. So yeah, you know, if you're a Black guy and you say, I only date fucking white bitches, then that's fine. If you're a white guy and you say that, then you're racist. Like it's absurd, right? Frankly, if you are a white guy, and, you know, I don't know why you would think this is kind of fucking bizarre to me, but if you were a white guy who said I'm only interested in Black girls, that would be racist, right? Because you're fetishizing my racial status. Yeah. So anyways, I'll take myself off again and play it. But yeah, just obviously crazy that it's, you know, white people that it becomes an issue with when they want to date white people.
Planet that we could call white.
Members are often open about their beliefs in their profiles.
Yeah, so what I'm looking at is obvious white supremacist symbology. When you look at the profiles, there is a drop-down where you can select what kind of ideology you hold, including a variety of white supremacist ideologies that are very...
Oh, fucking what? Once again, there's the little Jew, Evan Balgord, being wheeled out to talk about how problematic... Why is it a problem that certain people want to date people with the same racial characteristics as them and ideological beliefs as them? Why is that an issue, Evan? Why is that any of your fucking business? And it's not. You're just a meddling little Jew. That's it.
Very blatant, very obvious.
Is it possible, even what, given what you said, that some of the people on it may not have known exactly what they're signing up for?
I would find it extremely difficult to believe.
An anonymous hacker leaked the site's user list and deleted its databases as part of a talk at a conference in Germany.
So they're blatantly engaging in criminal activity and corporate espionage and sabotage. That's fine, right? This is being done publicly, live, on stage at a conference. Imagine if we went on to like jdate.net and we had somebody, you know, at a conference, you know, publicly in that moment, delete their databases and then leak the databases to everybody, the entire planet. What do you think would happen to us if we did that?
The leak includes thousands of profiles, which we investigate using tools like Host Industries and DarkSide. And we find members of the Canadian military. This is Brogan Hale. We find he's a Navy reservist. We know it's him on WhiteDate because the leaked data shows he created his account in Esquimalt, BC. On LinkedIn, we see that Hale took a naval security team course in Esquimalt around the same time period. His social media history is pretty explicit. On his X account, he says, "Keep Canada white," shares swastikas, and says, "We should use bioweapons against Indians." We also find White Date profiles for other military members. We don't have as much social media history for them, but we know they were on the site. Like this account from Ottawa, with the username Jim. Searching the profile's email address brings up his LinkedIn, revealing his real name, Brandon Longpre. He's a corporal with the Governor General's Foot Guards. That's the senior reserve infantry regiment in Canada, based in Ottawa. Then there's this profile. It's pretty clear. It says, "I'm a communications engineering officer with the Royal Canadian Air Force." We link the profile to Tristan Armstrong. And get this. According to his Facebook, he now works on the Future Fighter Capability Project, Canada's effort to buy new warplanes.
Should we be concerned about these people being in the military?
Yes, absolutely. Whenever you have an extremist in the military, particularly a white supremacist, there is reason for concern. They are getting access to training, weapons, secure intelligence that is not meant to be shared with others. It is classified.
We reach out to all of them over email.
Sorry, I'm just going to jump in here and say that these guys were dumb. Like, just terrible idea in general to, like, even if this didn't happen, if somebody was just looking through the profiles and saw communications engineer with the Royal Canadian Air Force or whatever, that would really narrow it down pretty quickly, wouldn't it? Like, based on the other information you give them, or if they use, like, any kind of, like, catfish, like, they could probably figure out who you were pretty easily. So probably don't volunteer that information on dating sites. Like, even if you're on Tinder or something, you probably shouldn't be doing that. But anyways, frankly, I don't feel that badly for these guys. Obviously, it sucks, but why were you still in the military with these beliefs? Why are you propping up a system that does not, you know, help us or your beliefs or the cause in any way? Like, get out. Anyway, that's my perspective. Maybe people would disagree with that, but I don't see, like, I find it difficult to have a ton of sympathy for these guys. Also, look, should we be able to have white dating sites? Yes. Should you be using online dating anyways? I don't think so. We did the whole dating stuff recently, and it's like, using that is stupid. Even if it is, you know, racially and ideologically specific, I don't really get it. That's me. Just go find people in real life. Anyways, I know, I hope they show Sean's piece in this, but we'll continue.
But none of them respond. We also reach out to the military, and it tells us it's investigating, because service members' online behavior is supposed to reflect the military's values and ethos.
When somebody is in the Canadian Armed Forces, they're held to a higher standard of conduct than a civilian would be.
It's true.
And that extent.
Sorry, that's true if you're right wing. If you're left wing, you're not held to those standards at all. But if you're right wing and you espouse any kind of right wing political beliefs online as a member of the CAF, then yeah, you are fucked. So you can talk about how much you love communism and trannies if you're a member of the CAF, but don't you dare say, like, maybe abortion is wrong. So yeah, he's not wrong though. You're not supposed to be doing this shit on social media as a member of the CAF.
Not just in what they do, let's say on base, but the views that they might express elsewhere in their lives.
We also found dating profiles for some notable Canadian white supremacists, people we've previously covered. Like Lane Palmer, an organizer with the neo-Nazi conference Exiles of the Golden Age. And Sean Beauvais MacDonald, a leader in multiple Canadian white supremacist groups. He openly calls himself a Nazi and praises Hitler.
Yeah.
If you see anything you want us to investigate, reach out at VI.
It's funny because Sean knew this was coming, so they reached out to him for comment a while ago, and I guess Sean's response was just to give them a list of non-white only dating sites. But Sean made a profile. He's like, yeah, I'll see what's on here, and then realized there really wasn't anybody on it. So I don't even think he ever used it. But yeah. Anyways, that's basically it for that, and we can just move on. I don't know. I'm not familiar with who Lane Palmer is, but yeah, like I the point isn't that, you know, oh man, what a leak, what a story that CBC has. The point is, look how fucking desperate they are. They're using leaked data from dating sites to, you know, spin up the my white supremacy. So now white people dating white people who believe, you know, white people shouldn't go extinct is now, you know, newsworthy, according to the CBC. Guys, this is desperation. And so, you know, that doesn't mean that we are safe. It means that, guys, they are spiraling. And, you know, much like when you have an opponent against the ropes and, you know, they are, that's whenever you are most likely to win, but it's also most likely when they are dangerous. Because when somebody is, when they have like nothing left to lose or they're backed into a corner, that's whenever they can throw something that you're not expecting. And so while, yeah, clearly anti-hate, the hate researchers, the CBC, et cetera, they don't know what to do at this point, but that makes them dangerous because, you know, God knows what they'll do. You know, as a last ditch effort. So you have to be like, it's time, we're going to have to weather this storm here because they're going to, you know, throw everything they possibly can at us. But if we just, you know, stay the course, hold fast, you know, don't react too aggressively or too, emotionally, like this is going to fail. This is a full court press, like desperation, like, you know, down, they're down 2-0 in the third, their goalie's pulled and they're just trying to get cram one in there, right? They don't know what to do. Like it's just, it's over basically. As long as we can just not crack. So that's where, you know, you lean on each other and you just pull in. Now, the funny thing is if these guys from the military get fired, which I'm sure they will, I'm sure they're going to be facing some probably dishonorable discharges or some shit. Hey guys, if you hear this, reach out to us because we've got a new organization for you where you will be much more beneficial to the ideology you supposedly hold than you were in the military. So doors open to you guys, right? We've had a ton of guys leave the military and come join us. Obviously, we don't take standing, you know, members of the CAF or law enforcement for obvious reasons. But, you know, if you're out, you're out. So, I just wanted to get into that. And I think there was something else too. Maybe just let me check quickly. I don't know if I'm frozen right now, but I'm just making sure that or checking to see if anything else came out in the past couple of days. I'm frozen right now. Sorry, guys. I'm not seeing anything. I'm expecting more. I'm expecting something to come every day, every other day now, just indefinitely going into the future. Rob Nichols says, if you want to meet white women, go to a hip hop club. They're all at Tyrone's table. It's simply like, I don't know why you're doing that. Like that kind of shit isn't helpful. It's not even true. White women are the least likely to date outside their race. White men are more likely to date outside their race than white women are. So I don't know why you would be spinning up that nonsense. It's like saying blondes are dumb. It's not true. Blondes are on average higher IQ than brunettes. So like you're just feeding into a stereotype that doesn't, like it's not even real and frankly benefits our enemies. So I don't know why you would do that. But also, even if that's true, yeah, of course you don't want that, but like, why would you like, don't go where the coal burners are, obviously. All right. Let me just make sure I didn't miss anything there while I was going through it. I'm going to wrap it up there soon anyways. I didn't plan on doing a long one tonight, guys, just because I didn't really have that much. But Intrusive Thoughts said retention must be amazing in the CAF. I don't know, man. Everybody I know who's in wants out. Everybody I know who's out says don't get in. Like, that's what I hear every time. Every time I talk to somebody who's in, they're just talking about how they can't wait to get out. And every time I talk to somebody who already got out, they're saying, like, I would never tell somebody to go in. So, like, I don't really get how they're even sustaining themselves at all at this point. Thomas says, do you take reservists? No. No. It's not good for you and it's not good for us. Like, I'll give you an example. It's like, I don't have an issue with, you know, 1% or MCs, let's say, for example. You know, they serve, like, in terms of, there will always be a criminal class, and it's better to have a criminal class that operates, you know, under a code of conduct and, like, a, you know, has a sense of honor, right? There's things that they, that those clubs, the MCs, will do and won't do, right? Now, I'm not, you know, trying to condone it. I'm just saying, the criminals exist. They will always exist. And you're better off, you know, being, you know, having your, the criminal, you know, underworld governed by, you know, men who live by a code of honor than by, you know, the worst degenerates. But I would never, we would never accept a member of an MC into the club, and we would never want our guys, you know, to be involved with them. And that's because it doesn't benefit either of us. So it's kind of similar there. When it comes to the reserves, you don't benefit by being involved with us, and we don't benefit by you being involved with us. So, like, why would we want, we wouldn't do that. Butcher Waffen says ex-police officers. It would entirely depend on the situation. The L is saying grocery store. I don't know. I don't think grocery store is it. Like, guys, I don't think it's fucking. My dad met my mom at a bar, okay, at a pub, right? They've been married for 35 years. No, longer. They've been married for almost 40 years. Like, I don't think, like, church, sure. You know, social gatherings, you know, parties that your friends are having. Like, I don't know. Like, it's a whole idea of, like, yoga or grocery store or where, sure, I guess that could work. But, like, if you go around, you look, most people who have been, you know, married for a long time, like, I don't know, how did your parents meet? Just ask yourself that. It's a pretty good chance that they actually met at a pub or at, like, some sort of function between different social groups. I don't know. How many of the parents in the chat, you know, met by, you know, talking to each other at the grocery store? Probably pretty few. Yeah, high school. The L says some of us don't go anywhere else but that word. But then, of course, if that's the only place you're going, like, then it's going to be, like, obviously, like, you have to be social, right? Like, you have to put yourself in social situations. And if you're hoping that, I don't know, it's, from what I could gather there, it sounds like you're a female. If you're hoping that some, you know, good quality guy is going to approach you while you're fucking picking apples out, I don't know. I think you have an unrealistic, you know, expectation of what could happen there. High school, work. Yeah, the work is a big one. There you go. Pedro Escobar says my parents met at a frat event. There you go. Weddings. Yeah, weddings are good. But that's what I'm saying. Like, it's always like some sort of social situation, not a contrived, like, I'm going to approach a girl as she's fucking, you know, looking at the bananas or something. I don't know anybody who's met in the grocery store. I don't know where that cliche started, that kind of but it seems like something that comes from a movie somewhere and got like romanticized because of it. But I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. Anyways, I don't want to do the dating advice stuff again. Like, I don't know why you'd listen to me anyways, or why you'd want to have this conversation with me. Obviously, I mean, dating and, you know, having sexual interest is two different things. Anyways, we'll just move on. Let me check Telegram one more time. Yeah, okay. Mr. Booz says, where is Mrs. Ferry? I've talked about it before. It's fucking stupid how much interest I do get, but it's not serious interest. It's like fetishized interest. Like they're into it because girls are either like it for the wrong reasons or they're not into it for the right reasons. So there's not many girls who want to bring you home to meet mom and dad and say, this is my boyfriend. He's a notorious, you know, domestic extremist, and CBC calls him a Nazi. Like, they don't want that pressure from their parents, from their social circles, from their coworkers. Like, they're like, even if they agree with you, even if they are interested in you, they don't want that. Like, that kind of pressure is enough to make them not want to pursue anything serious with you. So like, for me, it's not meeting people that's difficult. It's them actually wanting to be into that aspect. Very different. Which is why when I hear guys complain about it, I don't know. I guess it would depend on what you're like, but I'm not having any issue getting like interest. Yeah, Jason says Google him, Dad. Yeah, exactly. Google him. Look, some parents would be into it, but even that's not enough. Like, their parents may not mind, but their fucking friend circle would freak out, right? And they would hate it. So. Had a girl say that recently. I did the deep dive into you. It's funny because I like agree with everything you say, but I'm friends with a gay guy and I've been friends with him forever, and it would freak him out. And so like, you know, I can't, you know, it will never work. And it's like, there you go. That's a perfect example. Like, my parents are like this too. Like, they would probably love you. Like, yeah, like that happens all the time. So if you're a non, I don't know what you're complaining about. More and more girls are in. I had a 20, I think she was 22 year old girl that reached out to me through one of her friends that I know and say, can you hook me up with a Nazi? Like, I need a Nazi boyfriend. It's not that hard. I don't really get what guys are complaining about. Like. Anyways. I'm a Nazi gym bro with small traps and dating your daughter. Nice. Yeah. Anyways. It should be getting easier and easier to find, you know, potential girls as a nationalist minded guy. So. Butcher Waffen says she agrees with you, but has a faggot friend. Yep. Like, dude, what do you expect? They could agree with everything you're saying, but they have a girlfriend who's dating a black guy or something like that. Like, what do you, like, this is the society we live in. It's not neat and tidy. Like, they, you know how many people, like even guys, they'll come up to me in private and they'll be like, oh man, I watched some of your stuff. And like, you are like, I 100% agree with all the shit that you talk about. And then, like, they're not publicly saying any of it because of pressures. So like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, it's a fucking messy situation right now where, I don't know. All right. I don't know. Wrap it up, guys. Any other stuff you want to get into, it's fine. Look, I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying this is the reality, right? You can say it should be like this or it should be like that. And I don't know, maybe it should, but I'm just telling you that this is what it's like from what I've seen. All right. You know, this is just, the chat is just evolving into more and more stupidity, so I'll probably just call it there. All right. Thanks, guys, for the support tonight. I am sorry about the whole Steve Laws thing. Again, it was not, you know, within my control, nor was it within Steve's control, so we'll get it rescheduled at some point if we can. Brian 7316 just gifted 5 subscriptions to you. Thanks so much, Brian. I really appreciate that. Before we wrap this up, Saturday I am supposed to have the plan, anyways, is to have Tim Lutz and I forget his first name. Hang on, because he has multiple names and I don't want to say the wrong one. Well, I'm just gonna call him Awfully from the Awfully Offensive. So Tim Lutz and Awfully are supposed to jump on with me on Saturday night. So we'll be doing a St. Paddy's Day Aussie edition with the Irishman Awfully. What is it? Why is that? Why can't I think of his first name? Man, this is getting, I don't know. I find myself doing that more and more lately where I don't know if it's because I'm getting old or I have too much going on, but somebody's going to know what his name is. Graham. Thank you, Pedro. Graham from the Graham Awfully. I don't know. I don't even know if that's his real name, but that is what he goes by. So Graham and Tim are supposed to join me on Saturday night. We're going to have a more chill conversation and, you know, talk fighting and maybe some of what's going on in Australia and whatnot. So that's the plan. Big J Michigan says not Jack Eltis. I would love to talk to Jack eventually, but I'm just going by the guys I have more familiarity with right now. And then I'll, you know, pursue guys that I have less of less knowledge of as we go by. So that's the plan. We'll do a little Irish stream. We'll play lots of Irish music. Tim Lutz will probably hate it because he's German. I don't know. I'm just fucking kidding. But I'm sure Graham will love it. So that'll be Saturday night, our time, Sunday morning, Australia time, or at least that's the plan right now. If Steve is able to reschedule tomorrow or Thursday, I'll try to get it in there so that we get that done. If not, we'll, you know, move it to another time. Other than that, I think Derek might be going on tonight. He was planning on doing something, so we'll see. LBSVS says Jack Eltis would be a good one. Yeah, I'd like to cycle through a bunch of guys Australia has so many great characters, you know, and representatives that we could speak to. I'd love to talk to Jacob. I'd love to talk to Mikkel and Nathan. Like, there's a ton of guys that I would have on, but I don't just want to do Aussie show after Aussie show, which is why I'm trying to, like, you know, cycle between Americans, you know, British, Australian, you know, maybe some Canadian guys will come up, whatever, right? Yeah, we'll do that. And I think that was it for housekeeping. Other than, you know, guys, just stay the course, like, keep fighting. Things are going in our direction. The best example of this is what just fucking happened last week. I'm telling you right now, what happened with the doxing of Julio Zarda and the support that he got in response to that is unlike anything that we've had, anything unlike we've experienced in half a decade of doing this. There's never been an outpour of support like that. Even that CBC article that was released today, go look on Twitter or social media. They're getting fucking roasted for it. And they're not getting fucking roasted by our guys. They're getting roasted. Cat fucking Canada is in there, like, you know, blasting CBC. Mario Zelaya, like, the entire right wing, they're all just fucking dogpiling on CBC for that. And who's in that article? Sean Beauvais McDonald, the guy that they fucking can't stand because he's second sons and, you know, a Nazi or whatever. Like, we're winning, but because the moderate conservative neocon idiot right is actively defending us because they hate CBC or they hate Rachel Gilmore or whatever. So, like, don't, like, we're moving in the right direction. All we have to do is keep going. So, keep fighting, you know, be safe. Don't make silly mistakes, and we'll see you guys on Saturday, hopefully, for the for Offaly and Lutes. All right. Good night, everybody. I'll play you out on one more song. Actually, you know what? I'm just going to play the song I started the whole stream off again because I love it.
Come over the hills, my bonny Irish lass. Come over the hills to your darling. You choose the road, love, and I'll make the vow. And I'll be your true love forever. Red is the rose that in yonder garden grows. Fair is the lily of the valley. Clear is the water that flows from the boyne. But my love is fairer than any.
'Twas down by Killarney's green woods that we strayed, when the moon and the stars, they were shining. The moon, she on its rays, on her locks of golden hair, and she swore she'd be my love forever.
Red is the rose that in yonder garden grows. Fair is the lily of the valley. Clear is the water that flows from the boyne. But my love is fairer than any.
It's not for the parting that my sister pains. It's not for the grief of my mother. It's all for the loss of my bonny Irish lass, that my heart is breaking forever.
Red is the rose that in yonder garden grows. Fair is the lily of the valley. Clear is the water that flows from the boyne. But my love is fairer than any. Red is the rose that in yonder garden grows.
Fair is the lily of the valley, clear is the water that flows from the boy, but my love is fairer than ever.